And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of your We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Nicky Brennan. Davey, I suppose a very busy weekend. It was a busy weekend for you. You were at the hurling final, and of course, Limerick made it four in a row. I was away at a festival all weekend. Kylian Mbappe is after being sold for £259,000 or £259 million.
He's making that every hour.
Yeah, absolutely. €300 million to Al Hilal. But the big story of the weekend has to be the Meath Camogues.
It does. It does for all of that. Yeah, you're right. For all of our excursions and everything like that, Mickey, the Meath Camogues down in Thurles, which is basically like a second home to them at this stage. They have such a good record down there. They absolutely love it in their home of hurling. And it took the home of hurling to get them over that semi-final hoodoo. After three consecutive semi-final defeats, they finally made it into the final. And oh God, they made hard work of it. But it's an unbelievable turnaround. Bear in mind that Meath were beaten by 10 points against Westmeath earlier in the campaign, Mickey. They've turned it on its head and thoroughly deserved their four-point victory.
I know you're saying they made hard work of it or whatever, but I was just going to bring you back to the fact that Westmeath had beaten them in this championship already by 10 points. So a great turnaround. It's a 14-point swing, basically, because Meath won 111 to 10 points. They were trailing by a point at half-time, but that goal by Amy Gaffney towards the end of the game, just entering injury time, was the sealer in the end.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It was like a mad sort of scramble. Ball was launched in, and I think Emma O'Connell went to play it, and Amy Gaffney was there to pull on the loose ball. She had a terrific game and capped it with a goal. I think she got a goal in the intermediate final, what, 4 or 5 years ago down in Thurles. So familiar territory for her as well. But that was the insurance score. You're right. Meath were a point up, but they were hanging on. It was end-to-end stuff. There was no, you know, mass defences or anything like that. It was just two proper sides going at it. And it was a proper championship feel. Nothing in the game all the way. Meath did have a great third quarter, and I think it took Westmeath possibly 15 to 20 minutes of the second half for them to score. But when they did, they clawed it right back to the point. But Meath held their own and probably used that bit of experience and maybe the hurt of all those semi-final heartaches to push themselves on and to book their spot in Croke Park in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, absolutely. And they will be facing off against Derry, who got the better of Kilkenny in the other semi-final. That semi-final was also in Thurles. It was the curtain raiser to Meath and Westmeath. And that will be in Croke Park on the 6th of August at 2:45. It's going to be the sandwiched between the junior and the senior All-Ireland Camogie finals. But absolutely incredible stuff for Brendan Skehan and his charges. We do hope that we might have Kieran Devaney on from the Meath County Camogie Board with us on the podcast in the not too distant future, as in within the next half an hour. And if he does come on, we get a few words from him on the journey and of course on getting to that All Ireland final. Brendan does email us regularly with results and stuff like that, Davey, and you know, it'd be great to have him on for a few minutes.
Yeah, but Kieran, not Brendan.
Sorry, Kieran. Did I say Brendan again?
Forward earlier, Brendan Devaney. Yeah, it's a very easy name to get it mixed up with.
And I even have it written down in front of me.
I know, I know. That festival is playing all sorts of things in your mind, Mickey. It must have been a good weekend. But yeah, Kieran's excellent, and Orla Brady as well is on that PR committee with him, and they do tremendous work, and I'm delighted for them as much as anybody. So look, if he logs on, or if not, we'll hopefully have him the week leading up to the final, possibly for a bit of a preview before it. But I know he was watching his beloved Blackall Gaels make it 2-2 in the Senior Hurling Championship tonight. So if he isn't on, we'll excuse him that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That is a seamless link into our next part of the show this evening, and that is going to be the Club Hurling results. Of course, the Meath Club Hurling Championship is in full swing. Round 2 was on over the weekend, and of course tonight as well. And Davey, you might have an update on the results for us.
Yeah, I do. There was games played on Friday night, and then unfortunately a number of games had to be pulled on Saturday due to that absolutely atrocious rain. I was actually meant to be covering a game over in Boards Mill myself, Mickey, and met the lads in the Blackwater Inn for the Player of the Week and Top Scorer of the Week presentations. And I was driving across from Kells to Boards Mill, and the rain was monsoon-like. And the game, in fairness, Boards Mill is a terrific surface, but the game was pulled at 20 past 6 because just it just couldn't deal with it. It was incredible stuff. So those games all went ahead tonight. And we might start with them, Mickey. Trim made it 2-2 in Group A of the Senior Championship. They recorded a 6-point victory over Nafina. It finished Trim 22 points, Nafina 16 points. And there was one other game in Group B, and Blackall Gaels made it 2-2. They defeated Longwood. Comprehensive win for Blackall Gaels, 219 to 111 in favour of Blackall. And then there was a game in the Intermediate Hurling Championship, and that was between Trim and Kilskear Moyle. It finished Kilskear Moyle 4-7, 19 points. Trim 2-13, 19 points, a draw. So a cracker of a game there by the sounds of it. Elsewhere then, earlier in the weekend in Group A, Kiltale got back to winning ways with a huge victory over Ratolt. It finished Kiltale 1-17, Ratolt 15 points. And in Longwood, it finished Kildare 1-17, Killian 11 points. I was at that game. A couple of really outstanding performances from Kildare. Nicky Potterton, Paddy Keneally, Gary Kelly, to name but a few, were outstanding for Kildare. And that big rivalry against Killian, those guys are going to be joining forces to play football next weekend with Bolivar, but nothing too untoward in that game. Kilmessan in Group B also bounced back from a first round defeat. They defeated Dundry 21 points to a goal and 7, so an 11 point victory for Kilmessan, who bounced back to winning ways. And Clannagale just continued their terrific form, Mickey, in football and hurling. They were 2-12 to 10 point winners over St. Peter's Dunboyne in Rathmullen last Friday as well. Into the JMB Food Services Intermediate Group A, Boards Mill and Drumree played out a pulsating 115 to 212 draw in Batterstown on Friday night. And elsewhere, Kildare, who that's his Kildare second team, they're 2-2, two massive victories for them. 5-11 to a goal and 3, they defeated Navan O'Matney's in Trim. I've been watching Kildare. I've actually been at their senior game twice, and they've literally not used many subs at all. They've managed to retain their squad, just use one or two subs. They're playing some, like Padraig Gagan was in, and Martin Doran played in their intermediate side. So they've got great quality in that. Then into Group B of the JM Food Services Thursday night game in Drumree, Trim 7-27, Kilmessan 12 points. So a massive victory for Trim there. And then on Saturday, Wolf Tones were defeated by St. Peter's Dunboyne. That was in Ratolt. It finished Dunboyne 3-11, Wolf Tones 3-7. And there was one football game, which we obviously haven't brought you since the podcast as well. That was last Tuesday night, where St. Bridget's recorded a 3-10 to 13 point victory over St. Vincent's. That was in Kilmainham last Tuesday night. So Bridget's, the Junior B champions, up and throwing their weight around.
Just as you mentioned St. Bridget's and that game last Tuesday night, obviously we didn't bring it to our listeners on the We Are Mead podcast. But what we did do is they would have heard about St. Bridget's players later in the week, because, of course, we did announce our Kiko Sports Team of the Week later on last week. And that would have incorporated that game on Tuesday night between St. Bridget's and who did St. Bridget's play?
St. Vincent's.
St. Vincent's is right. And, of course, the Kiko Sports Team of the Week was as follows. It was Johnny Lynch in goals from Rinaldi, full back line of Roland Lynch from Rinaldi, Pádraig Barber from Cumann and Wood, and Bobby Masterson, St. Bridget's, the first of our St. Bridget's men to get a mention. The half back line was Philly Gary from Clonmacgill. Centre half back was Michael Flood from St. Bridget's, and completing the half back line was Shawnee Geraghty from Ballinlock. In the middle of the field was Owen Brady from Ballinlock and Pádraig O'Connor from Rinaldi. Half forward line was Sean Murray from Drumcondrith, Jerry O'Sullivan from Clonmacgill, and Danny Dixon from Boardsmill. And completing the lineup in the full forward line was Carl Murphy from Dunsany, Stephen Kiernan from Kilmainham Wood, and Oisin Smith from Corrtown. We did also announce our Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and our Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week. You met up with the lads over in the Blackwater on the weekend, Davey, and you did an interview with them. The Blackwater Inn Player of the Week was Jerry O'Sullivan from Clonmacgill after he kicked 1-3 from play against Kilbride in their opening round victory. And the top scorer was Danny Dixon, who hit 2-7 against St. Paul's as well. So we'll go to that interview, Davey, that you got with the lads just now.
Right, we're delighted to be in the Blackwater Inn and joined by Player of the Week, Jerry O'Sullivan, and Top Scorer of the Week, Danny Dixon, and of course, George Plunkett from the Blackwater Inn. Jerry, many congratulations, I suppose. A nice little acclaim on a personal level after a great win last weekend.
Yeah, no, look, it's all down to team performance at the end of the week. So only for the boys, I wouldn't have got this award. So thanks very much to them, and hopefully we keep on kicking on from here on in.
You probably made hard work of it. I think at half time they were well in the game, but the third quarter was really the difference. He's really kicked on and put the game beyond them, but they kept you honest to the end.
Yeah, no, we kind of got a bit of an eating there at half time, so we had to come out and perform. We knew we weren't performing at the levels we know we can, so a couple of lads stood up, the big players stood up on the day, and just took a real team effort. It was a rough, wet, windy night, and we just pulled out and got the performance done.
I suppose you're going well on both counts with the hurling as well. You had a great win last night. That's two from two in that. You've had a win in the football. What's the magic formula, or how does it work? Because we know the crossover that you guys have, and obviously Niall McLaughlin's in there coming from a dual club. It probably helps that as well, maybe?
I think it's more when a team gets togetherness and everyone gets along with each other and enjoys meeting up together, and it kind of comes together in your performance as everyone works hard for each other. At the end of the day, like, you can have a lot of skill in that, but at the end of the day, it comes down to work rate and hard work gets you over the line, really.
I suppose the silverware was key as well. You got a league title a couple of weeks ago against Dalton's. You're playing them now and next week as well. That's it was tight the last day. There was nothing really in it, so you'd be expecting much of the same, and they're coming off the back of a defeat, so they'll want a reaction to that.
Yeah, no, we definitely suspect like probably a double tougher task than what we had in the league final, simply because they know what we are, they know what we have now, and you know, playing that game earlier on in the year, you know, they kind of know what we're about, and we just have to turn up and work hard for each other again and just see what the outcome is at the end of the day.
George, I suppose from St. Bridget's standpoint, you're going to be keeping a close eye on proceedings with what Clonmacgill are doing, but it's an incredibly open Junior A Championship this year, and they're going to be one of the big protagonists, you would imagine, as it goes on.
Well, I would be. I'd say they're raging hot favourites, you know, to be fair. No pressure. But no, they are a good side now, in all honesty. But I don't know who it was that said it, and it's true. Like, nearly any team in the junior can win it.
Yeah.
And any team can relegate it. It's very, very open. But, yeah, I'd say Clonmacgill now, same as ourselves. You know, it's good to get off a win in the first round, but we played Clonmacgill down in Ballinacree in the league earlier on now, and it was like they won by 6 or 7 points, but it was a good battle, you know what I mean? So there's no point in, from a Bridges point of view, worrying about that yet, you know what I mean? It's one step at a time, it's mile next, and hopefully if we're in a position to be worried about who we're playing in the semi-final or quarter-final, then happy days, you know, they'll attack that.
Absolutely. Danny, we'll bring you in. 2-7 last week, we cleared it up that it was 2-7 in the end. Probably not a whole pile to read into the game against Paul's, because it was such a one-sided affair, but you'll be happy to get off to win and start nonetheless and put up a big score, because maybe score difference could come into it later on.
Yeah, Dave, you know, now we're happy enough. We played well, I suppose. The boys put in a big shift. Derek and Vinny had us well prepared going into it, so we've Carnaross now this Friday evening, so we'll give that a go and see how we get on there. I suppose they'll be tough opponents, and we played them over the last few years. They're never easy, but look, Vinny and Derek will have us well prepared again, and we'll hopefully hit the ground running. We've got a good old start to the year now, so we'll push on.
Do you think the fact that they haven't played yet, and you've played two rounds of hurling now, you've got a football game in as well, that bit of match sharpness or championship sharpness should probably stand to you, particularly in the early stages if they are a little bit rusty and slow out of the blocks?
Yeah, no, look, the hurling is definitely a big help. We've three championship matches now between the hurling and football played, so we haven't lost one yet, so no, we're happy enough and hopefully we'll be ready to go now Friday evening.
Something must be going right over that end of the county. Clannagale are going well as well in both codes. You're doing the same. You talked about the consistency with having Vinny there and obviously Derek from a football standpoint, but it must be a big help with such a large crossover. I think 95-96% play both teams.
Yeah, no, look, we have the same team. Basically, virtually the same players play both. Like, so we'll do a week of hurling on a hurling week, and then we'll do a week of football on a football week. So it works well for us, I suppose. Vinny and Derek, they work it well between themselves, and both of them are at all the games, at all the training. So whether it's football or hurling, Derek's been a big help to us now this year. He's come in, and Vinny's just a stalwart, really, aboard Smill. He's always there, and he does his job really well.
What about you? Are you you're still a young enough fella? Is the county ambition still there? Are you still hoping to maybe get another crack at it? Because you were obviously in there last year and enjoyed that experience. But looking at what Colm has done this year with young players in particular, there's probably an element of fellas are going to get opportunities over the next couple of years as well.
Ah, yeah, look, now they had a great win in the Tailteann Cup there this year, so hopefully they can push on now and give the Leinster maybe a crack. Yeah, look, I'm 23, I suppose. It is a goal, I suppose. I was there a few years ago and wouldn't mind getting back, giving another crack. But yeah, no, we'll see what happens anyway.
George, I suppose the two of them, Jerry and Danny, probably fellas that Colm might be looking at, particularly if they continue with that trend, what they've set 1-3 from Jerry last week and 2-7 from Danny.
Yeah, well, in fairness to Colm, nobody can accuse him of not having a good look round. You know what I mean? He looked round and he brought in new lads. Danny was quite impressive for me in the regionals now. I thought he played really. I was at nearly every one of them games. There was goal over and back between them at times, and Danny did well. Lucas, I would say to any young lad, and I think I actually feel what's going to happen is now the way the thing is going in there, I think lads will want to play for Meath again. I'm not saying they didn't want to before this, but I think everybody will want to play for Meath now, and I think that'll help. And as any player, just knuckle down, keep doing their best, and sure, hopefully they'll put their head up and have a look at them, you know.
Thanks, George. Lads, well done, and we wish well for the rest of the championship.
Cheers, Davey. Thanks.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coin & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coin & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
So yeah, that was Davey speaking to the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and the Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week for week one of the Club Football Championship. Of course, it was Jerry O'Sullivan from Clonagale and Danny Dixon from Boards Mill. So we are delighted, because we did say it earlier in the programme, that we might have Kieran Devaney from the Meath Camogie Board on with us later in the show. Kieran has joined us. He's on his way home, as Davey said, from the Blackhall Gales match. And it's getting better, let's just say, Kieran, because even your club, Blackhall Gales, are winning Mead beaten and getting revenge over Westmead on Saturday and through to another intermediate All-Ireland final. So it's just the best week ever, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, look, it's fantastic for the girls. Fantastic for, I suppose, the last Mead team standing of the year. Another day out in Croke Park and a final to look forward to. Look, the girls will be absolutely delighted with how the year has come about. They'll be looking to get over their, I suppose, the upset of the league final they lost to Kerry a couple of months ago. And just no better way of getting that hoodoo off your back. We lost 3 semi-finals in 4 years, so it was a massive one to get over the line on Saturday against your neighbours Westmead, who gave us a bit of a humbling a couple of weeks ago down in Raharney. So yeah, no, it's all coming. It all comes down to 60 minutes in Croke Park in 2 weeks' time. So no, I'm delighted. I'm mad. I'm eager for it. So hopefully everyone else is excited for it, and the girls are chomping at the bit for this one now as well. So
it's funny, Kieran. Like, Brendan Devaney has kept coming back year after sort of setback and setback. You're in a bit of a similar position as BRO. You've probably been tempted to step aside after some of those defeats, maybe, but you've kept the faith, and it's probably repaid you.
Ah, look, I said it to you before. I said it to Croke Park that day. It's the big days out that's kind of paid for. It's all worth it after that. Like a couple of days there in Semple Stadium, and I'd look at people talk about, oh, why are they bringing down to Semple? Like, why would, like, the players that dream about playing in Semple Stadium, like, I got to walk out and I got to puck a ball there, and that was I was excited. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine what the Aoife Minogues and Amy Gaffers and them are thinking when they're actually playing on it. But like, a return to Croke Park is the stuff of dreams for the girls. So, and if we can get over the line, it'll be a phenomenal year for me, Camogie.
With Mead's record in Thurles, I imagine you wouldn't be protesting if the game was moved there, Kieran, because certainly recently and obviously in the past as well, you've had some great days down at Temple.
I suppose routine is routine, and how winning habit is a thing you kind of grow into. And no more than Croke Park, like getting the run out in was it April? We're in there for the league final, or May. That would be worth their weight in stone to the girls. Just the whole process of, like, it can be quite, like, I've never played in Croke Park, but like even coming in on the bus, going through the tunnel, all that, like, just to have that done and dusted. We've done it before. We know what's going to happen. We know where we're getting the bus. We know what dressing room we're in. Like, to have that done already is huge for the girls. So like, we're really, really preparing well for this. And like, that was just a great league campaign that ended in a final, but obviously ended in defeat. But it's just coincidence that we have that behind us now. So no, it's great. Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't want to go to Thurles. We have to go back to Thurles again. Same routine again. We know the place. We know every corner of it now. So no, it's great, and it's a happy hunting ground for us now at the moment. So hopefully, Croke Park will turn Croke Park into a happy hunting ground for us as well.
For such a young team, that kind of experience of getting in there in a league final must be invaluable, because obviously it's been well documented some of the players that have stepped aside for various different reasons this year, and it's such a young squad who a lot of them wouldn't have played in Croke Park before this year. That must be massive that they've got in. Okay, it wasn't such a positive experience, but they'll learn absolute oodles from it.
Oh, hugely. Like, and to be fair, the girls didn't play bad that day. We just didn't get over the line. We met a very good Kerry team that day, but we saw a couple of weeks later the reversal of that results down when we went down to Lixnar, down to Causeway. It was just on the day Kerry just had us measured. But like Brendan would have said in a couple of interviews that he didn't really matter about, like, obviously he would have liked to win the game, but as a learning curve for the girls, for the younger members of the team. And even since that, we've brought in more girls since that league final. Like, the panel's up to 35 now. So we've a lot more younger girls coming in. And look, it's all about building on the future and building next year and the year after and the year after. And like, when you think of your 35 girls who are going to get into a strength and conditioning program next year and the year after, like, it's going to be a very exciting time for me, Camogie. So next Sunday is going to be the first step on the future for this county team. So it's great.
And Kieran, just on those two games against Westmeath and Kerry, the fact that they were this bunch of girls were able to get revenge, let's just say, over those two teams that have beaten them earlier in the year, Kerry twice obviously in the league and the league final, and then to beat them in the championship, and then for Westmeath to beat them in the last group game of the round robin part to get the revenge on them as well, like that must be a real, I don't know, a confidence booster for these young girls going into that final as well.
Yeah, Westmeath would have caught us, I won't say on the hop, but like Westmeath were playing for more in that game. They were playing for their semi-final spot. We potentially had already qualified for at least a quarter final, so we could afford to take the foot off the grass gas a little bit. Now, you never like getting a bit of a hiding, especially down in when you're away as well. But I think I suppose the benefit of you get to have a look at them as well. So I know the lads would have worked really hard to get the girls in prepared so well for last Sunday or last Saturday. And that was like the bedrock for that defeat was the bedrock for the performance on Saturday. And being there to see it was phenomenal because the conditions weren't great. Obviously, like I know it rained a lot at home, games called off, but it didn't rain as it was raining constantly in Turles. And the grass is so slick there that ball just flies off it. So you'll see in the first half how it was nip and tuck. It was kind of point for point. But again, like we did against Cork in the quarterfinal, we just turned on the gas and we have this extra gear that we find and we just put them to the sword. And it was a phenomenal performance. So it was fantastic to get that bit of revenge. You'll hear if you have a look at Amy Gaffney's interview with LMFM, she talked about the bit of a scalding we got down in Westmeath and how it spurred it on. And like, look, you can be sure that would have been mentioned so many times in the dressing room. It was probably on the wall in the dressing room before the game. So it was massive.
For such a young squad, Kieran, has this year been unexpected to an extent? Like, I can't imagine that at the beginning of the year, maybe too many people from inside or outside the camp were talking about league finals and All-Ireland finals. And maybe they were, but with the massive amount of the turnover of players and with such a young team, and it's probably been bonus territory, no?
Yeah, you're probably right. I know Brendan said after the final that, like I said, he wasn't gutted about the league final loss. It was about the experience and about building, and this is where we want to be, and this is the first steps of getting here regularly. Was that final? Like, we haven't been in Croke Park since 2017, if I'm not mistaken, and we're going there twice this year. And like I say, we have lost. We lost. You lose so many players and so many kind of legends of the game that you're missing like first names on the team sheet kind of legends, if me Camogie. But look, that's what the girls try and get to. That's they're the role models they want to get to. So a lot of these girls would have played with. Look, we're talking about Jay Doan, you're talking about Sinead Hackett, you're talking about Anya Keogh. Like, they've all Ireland, they have a couple of Ireland in their back pockets. So these younger girls would have been in Croke Park to see them. They've played against them in club games. So just to get back to just get up to their level would have been in their dreams. But this has been, we probably are in bonus territory, but it's phenomenal to get there, and they're full value for it. It's bonus territory, but they are full value for where they are. Like the championship run was, we got over Laois. The win in Kerry was like Laois. We got a good win against Laois. It was a big win. Ciara Foley came onto the team in that game. Scored the first touch of the ball. She got a goal. What an introduction to a county team. And she's nailed on now. And she has been nailed on. Her performances have been savage over the last couple of weeks. Going down to Kerry, having to go down to Kerry, the girls were down the night before. To go down to Causeway, like lads, the next stop is
bloody New York.
The equator. I don't know where it is, but to go down to a club pitch down there in Causeway and come out with a result. Hey, we're going down to the home of Kerry Hurling, but the performance put in down there was phenomenal. And obviously, look, we know what happened against Westmeath, but then to turn it around and come out against Cork last couple of weeks ago and just absolutely blitzed him in the second half was huge. And he saw it again then at the weekend against Westmeath. So they've been building nicely. Like, these girls know they're no pushover. We talk about physical teams. We're going to meet a Derry team that's going to be very physical. I watched them in the semi-final there against Kilkenny. Not looking forward to playing them. But I don't think, like, we're not going to lie down by no means. We're really bringing it to them, so it's going to be a huge game.
And these girls know this Derry team as well, because they had to play them in the last round of the league as well this year. I think it was in Ashburn, 9-10 points. And will that stand for anything going into this final at all, or has there been way too much water under the bridge since then, and complete changes in panels and I suppose foreign players as well, Kieran?
I know, like, we meet Derry pretty regularly over the last couple of years. We met them twice last year. I think we've played them every year since I've been involved. So let's say the last 4 years we've played Derry. So we know a bit about them. Obviously we got to get eyes on them last Sunday for the Kilkenny game. They have some outstanding players. Oni McAllister got player of the match there last week. She's phenomenal. She's just a baller. She's a free taker as well. An amazing strike of a ball. Really dangerous. There's a few others. Regan, who else is there? There's Amy. There's a couple of Amys on that team. But they're a serious outfit. So this is going to be an absolute cracker.
Yes. It's going to be a massive one as well. Sandwiched by the two other All-Irelands as well, Kieran, the junior and the senior, in Croke Park on the 6th. Big day out.
Big day out. Big day out for me. I'm sure I'm delighted. I get to go to these things. I know, like, it's phenomenal. There's a big, like, in fairness, the Camogie National Board are putting a big kind of emphasis on trying to fill Croke or get as many people into Croke Park as possible. So, look, we'll be trying to up our game on social media. We're trying to get all the clubs. Look, we know already. We can hear things coming back to the county board that there's buses, like, we have four buses already organised going to Croke Park that day. And look, we've had recent success of the ladies. The lads won the Talchin Cup. Look, we belong in Croke Park. This should get everyone into Croke Park. So hopefully the county come out behind us as well, and make it. Like, you need the 16 man to get you over the line. So hopefully meet people come out and support us that day. But we were putting every sort of aid in place with buses and stuff like that to get the kids in there first, because it's a great day out.
That's a brilliant initiative. And look, it's a bank holiday Sunday, so, you know, that should help, Kieran. Just a word on yourself, and I know Orla does a lot of work as well behind the scenes too. It's probably a small enough PR team, but it's one of the most hardworking ones around.
Yeah, we do a bit. Like, look, I suppose the brief is to keep people informed, to keep people up to date with what's happening. People don't need to ask questions because they know where to find it. Myself and Orla, who both do our own club stuff as well, we find time to do it. Obviously, the amount of county teams and stuff like that, we can work it very well. Like, we've phenomenal help. Like, we've two of our photographers who have traced the land for us, Martin Costello and Pascal Riley. Yeah.
They're brilliant.
They sat, like, you want to see the rain. Like, the rain on Saturday, it wasn't as bad as it was down here, but the rain on Saturday was non-stop, and there was Pascal down the corner and under an umbrella for the guts of 90 minutes. Just, and straight away when he gets home, straight on the computer, we have, like, some of the photos we get from these guys are phenomenal. Like, you see info and Sportsfile and all these kind of guys. These guys are at the level. And straight away, it was actually a lovely moment last the final whistle went. The girls ran straight over to their own families and friends and kids. And there was kids. There was a nice crowd for me. We three buses, or three or four buses down from Trim down, with underage teams and just club teams. But the girls gave time. But, like, all those memories are captured because we have our own photographers and stuff like that. But, like, it's a massive shout. I have to give a massive shout out to Martin and Pascal for their continued support. But, like, even yourselves, give us, like, look, lads, you spread the good word. LMFM, The Chronicle, all Jimmy Gagan, give us so much. Stephen from Mead Daily. Look, it's all about spreading the word. The small ball of Mead sometimes gets doesn't get as much airtime as it deserves. But there's a few people working hard to make it happen. So no, thanks a million for everything he's done so far, and hopefully we'll be back on in a couple of weeks' time with an All Ireland in our back pocket.
I was just going to say we might get you a little bit sooner than that. Hopefully we might nick you on for a preview maybe next week before the game, Kieran, if that suits.
Yeah. No, you caught me on that. You caught me coming out of I was in Kintail there, Black Hawbet, Longwood in the senior championship there. So I have about 10 different things in my head over. I'll have to put pen to paper on that win now as well. So you're trying to remember what happened on Saturday, what happened in the semi final, what happened there. So no, it's
always a little bit easier after a win though, isn't it?
Oh, you run straight home, and that has to go up on the Hogan stand or wherever we put these things. So no, it's great.
Super stuff. Kieran Devaney, Mead, Camogie, PRO, thanks a million for coming on, and we wish you and all the girls and Brendan Skehan and the extended management team the very best of luck on Sunday week. Hopefully we can do it and claim more silverware in Crow Park.
Thanks a million, lads. I'll pass on your kind words. Thanks again for the support. Up the Royal.
Up the Royal is right, Kieran. Thanks a million. And hopefully we'll get you on before that final, as Davey said, and do a preview and maybe talk a bit more in depth about the girls or whatever and give them their little bit of airtime as well. So again, Kieran, thanks a million. And looking forward to that final in a couple of weeks' time.
No matter. Thanks, lads.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Dave, we'll move on now. We've got some club fixtures coming up as well. We have the football club championship back on next weekend. Obviously, we had round one of the Junior A and Junior B, and we are now looking at bringing in the intermediate and the senior championship. So we're gonna have a look through these, Davey, and what we might do is we might even just throw one word predictions onto each of these as we're going along. So I'm just going to share the screen with you so you can see it. I'm trying my best. Here we go. So, okay. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you for a prediction on the Junior B because you are playing in it. So I might just give my tuppences on it. So on Friday night in Group B of the Coolright Junior B Football Championship, it is going to be Carnaross against Boards Mill at 7:30 in Father Plunkett Memorial Park. And the other game in Curragha on Saturday is at 6:30. It's between St. Paul's and Slane. So I'm going to go for a Slane win there. And Carnaross and Boards Mill is a tricky one there, Davey, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That's a huge game. Like, the loser of that is effectively, I won't say they're out, but they're as good as, because of the two other teams that have to play. That's a must win for both of those. Am I allowed to give predictions on the other group or just not Cork?
Yeah, of course you can give them on Group B, yeah.
Okay. I'll go Boards Mill in that one.
Go Boards Mill. Wondering if Paddy McDermott or Danny Dixon will come out as top scorer in that one, but it'll be an interesting one. I'll go against you. I'll just go Carnaross for the sake of it. Next up is the Coolright Junior B Football Championship Group A games, and on Friday night in Dundry. Davy Ruspin is absolutely delighted about this. It's a Friday night. On Friday night lights match for Cortown. They're going to be playing against Clonard. I'm going to give Cortown the nod there. On Friday night, also in Simonstown, it's St. Mary's against Drumcondrath. And that's a really, really tight one at 7:30. That is a hard one to call, but I'll probably just get side with St. Mary's in that one, Davy. And then on Sunday, obviously, you can talk about these games, but don't give me predictions because you don't want to be riding up anybody in your own group. On Sunday in Kenny, it's Eastern Gales against Kilmaine and Wood. I'm going to give Kilmaine and Wood the nod there at 11:15 on Sunday morning. Davey, your thoughts on the other two games apart from the Clonard Cortown one?
The middle one is huge, like Mary's and Drumcondrath. You said it, that's massive because Mary's obviously defeated in round one. Drumcondrath picked up a great win against Clonard. If Drumcondrath were to win it, they put themselves in such a really strong position. If Mary's lose it, they're on the back foot. They're in huge peril. So huge, huge game there. Massive amount at stake for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And a chance for Cortown to get 2 from 2 as well. Drumcondrath to get 2 from 2. And if not mistaken, Kilmaine and Wood to get 2 from 2 on the weekend. So that'll be an interesting one. Moving on then to the Ballyrees Bar, Restaurant and Guest Accommodation Junior Football Championship Group B. We're going to start with Group B and work our way up. On Saturday in Centrestown, Sidon against Dunsany. Massive game, Davey. Sidon or Dunsany?
I'll go Sidon.
You're going to go Sidon. Yeah, I'll go Dunsany just to be different as well, just to go against you on that one. It'll be a really, really good game. I'm looking forward to that one. But and also on Sunday in Park Colum Kilkells, which I don't think it will be, if I'm not mistaken, it's St. Dalton's against Clonmacnoise. That game won't be in Park Colum Kilkells, will it?
No, I don't think so. I know there was a big charity match last Saturday there, which is probably worth mentioning as well. The Murphy Cup, which was Mead Legends against local legends, and obviously the rain that fell Saturday, I'm sure them boys probably mucked it up nicely. But it was a great spectacle by all accounts. I don't know where it'll be. It'll be a cracker, though, if it is. Repeat the league final, of course, from only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I have to go with Clonmacnoise, though, Mickey. They look to be moving rather well in everything that they're doing at the moment, and the confidence is coursing out of them. You wouldn't expect them to slip up in a game like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Although if they start off the way they started against Kilbride last week, St. Dalton's could do damage to them, but I am going to side with Clonmacnoise myself in that one. Moving on then to Group A of the Junior A Football Championship, the Ballyrees Bar, Restaurant and Guest Accommodation Junior Football Championship, that is, in Park Colum Kilkells on Saturday at 7:30. It won't be in Park Colum Kilkells, that we believe it won't be anyway. It's Kilmainham against Ballinlough, another North Mead derby. And then and on Sunday, in Ballygibb in Gibbstown, it's going to be Moyla against St. Vincent's at 11:30. 11:30 throw in on Sunday for that one. Two massive games, Davey. Two hard games to call.
Very much so. The Kilmainham and Ballinlough game that's the tie of the round by a distance, to be honest with you. Kilmainham yet to play. Ballinlough have a win under their belts. That'll be so tight. I might just go with Ballinlough, to be honest with you. I was going to go Kilmainham, but I just think the benefit of them playing a game and winning a game, the confidence they might get from that, they might just start at championship pace, and it might take Kilmainham a few minutes to get to that if they're allowed to. So possibly Ballinlough in that one. And I'll go with Vincent's to just nick it against Moyla. That looks like a relegation playoff game in many ways already.
Wow. Well, do you know what? I'm going to go for Kilmainham. I think they're the type of team that need rest, so maybe the rest has done them good. And then with Moyla, I'm gonna go with Moyla getting the victory here over St. Vincent's, and that would sound the death bells for St. Vincent's if they were to lose again. Really, really interesting one there. Anyways, we're going to move on, and we're going to move up to, if we can find it, the Mead Farm Group Intermediate Football Championship. And we're going to start, as we normally do, down the bottom in Group D, and we're going to have a look at the fixtures from that. 4 groups of 4, so 2 games in each group. Group D on Friday night in Tony Callaghan Park, Duleek. It's going to be Bechtiv against St. Pat's, and on Sunday in Castletown, it's Mead Hill against Dundry at 7:00.
I expect a low scoring back to Pat's game. I think Pat's will win it. I don't think they'll win it by as much as people think they'll win it. And in the other one, I think Dundry will be up against it when they play Meath Hill, a Meath Hill team that'll be smarting a little bit from the league final a couple of weeks ago. They've had a bit of time to stew on it. I fancy them to open up with a win.
Yeah, 7 o'clock throw in on a Sunday. Must be the last game of the weekend as well over there in Castleton. And
more about that on Instagram later on.
Cool, we'll move on then. So that is Group D looked at. Group C, Waterstone against Longwood is on at 6 o'clock on Saturday in Trim, and then also on Saturday in Sean Newman Park out there in Bormean. It's 6:30 throw-in for Nobber and Beliver. So I'm going to say, God, that Waterstone Longwood one is. I was about to say I'm going to say Waterstone, but Longwood, that could be a real banana skin for Waterstone. And then Nobber Beliver, you don't know what you're getting there, but with all the contingent back in Beliver and with the big name gone from Nobber, I'm going to say Beliver. I'm going to say a draw in the other game.
Funny that, like, I would say I'll go Waterstone and Beliver myself, but you look at it and they do look straightforward enough on paper, but you have to think back. Nobber were in the semi-final of the championship last year. Longwood, they're unbelievable at getting first-round wins in the championship, so they won't make it easy. They don't have Ryan Moore. He's suspended from last year. It'd be a huge loss. So I fancy Waterstone to just pull it out, and I think Beliver might just have too much for an Nobber side that are without Sean Mead, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Both of us going to go for Beliver in that one. You're going to go for Waterstone. I'll go for Longwood. And in Group B of the Mead Farm Group Intermediate Football Championship, in Bective on Saturday, it's Blackhall Gales against Castleton at 6:30. And also on Saturday at 6:30 in Rathkenny, it's St. Michael's against Elite Bellewstown. So I would have to say Castletown against Blackhall Gales. I wonder, will Castletown have their full contingent back, because they haven't had them all year? And then St. Michael's against Deleague Bellewstown, high flying St. Michael's in Division 2. Deleague Bellewstown, a misfire on Monday. Didn't really have many players to come back into the team, but are they a championship side? Do you know what? I'll go St. Michael's in Rathkenny.
Interesting. I'll go against you in both of them. I'll go with a Blackhall win against Castletown, a little bit left of field, and I'll go for a Duleek Bellewstown win against St. Michael's.
Yeah, okay. And then moving on to Group A of the Mead Farm Group Intermediate Football Championship. The venue is Ballinlock. It's on Saturday. It's at 6:30. It's Oldcastle against Navan O'Matney's. On Sunday in Nobber, it's Rathkenny against Drumbarra Emmets at 12 o'clock. But we can't get past that Oldcastle Navan O'Matney's one. It has to be a Navan O'Matney's win. But you just don't know with Oldcastle coming into championship.
Exactly. And this has been building to this for all year for Oldcastle. The amount of lads that have been missing through injury and everything like that, this is the game. When the draw was made, that's Navan O'Matney was put up there, and that's what they've been aiming towards. If they can get their best team or something close to their best team out there, they'll give them a right good tussle. It should be a foregone conclusion, Navan O'Matney's and Rathkenny. I think they will just about win. But I expect Drumbarra to give Rathkenny a real test as well. And I don't think that will be as comprehensive as many people think either.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're two tighter games than people will predict. But we'll be proven wrong come Sunday at 8 o'clock. We'll have, Sunday at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, we'll have the results of those games. So we're going to move on now to the Ferryhill Steel Senior Football Championship. And, by the way, just to let our listeners know as well, on our Loyal Royals podcast this week, you're going to get a full preview of the Mead Farm Group Intermediate Football Championship and a full preview of the Ferryhill Steel Senior Football Championship, similar to the ones that we did for the Junior B and Junior A. We had representatives on from all the clubs, most of the clubs were there, and absolutely brilliant previews to have a listen to the thoughts of all the players from all the clubs across all four groups, across intermediate and senior. So don't miss that. We have those two podcasts will be dropping this week, so do look out for them. So we're going to move on now, as I said, to the Ferryhill Steel Senior Football Championship Group D. Two games to be played in this one on Friday night. It is not even worth going to. It's in Parktownshire. Nothing to see here, folks. Wolf Tones against Gael Colmkill at 7:30 in the evening. And then on Saturday in St Finian's Park, it's Ballinabrachy against Summerhill. Davey Rispin, tell me who's going to win those two games.
Oh, I tell you, the lotto number's quicker, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'll go Wolf Tones and I'll go Summerhill. Probably the boring answer. Yeah, I think Wolf Tones will have enough, and I think Summerhill will have enough, but it won't be again as easy as many people will think. Ballybracky will put it right up to them, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's going to be a draw in at least one of these games in Group D. I'm just trying to figure out which one it's going to be. I'm going to say Ballybracky and Summerhill be a draw, and I'm going to say Wolf Tones to beat Gael Colum-Kill. I believe they've got a full squad out there at the minute. I heard it at Mass on Sunday. Anyway, moving on to the Ferryhill Steel Senior Football Championship Group C and the games that will take place on this week from that group. So on Thursday evening in Screen, it's going to kick off the Senior Football Championship for this year. It's going to be Rathalton Minalvi at 7:30. And then on Friday night in Ashburn, it's in Colum-Kills against Screen at 7:30. So on Thursday evening, 7:30, Screen, it is the reigning champions, Rathalt, taking on Minalvi, Davey. That's kind of a straightforward one enough, do you think?
It should be. It should be. Minalvi, though, loves Screen. It galvanises them, as you know, Mickey. So don't write them off. I'll be there. Hopefully have a live commentary from that, from the first senior game of the year. But yeah, I think it's hard to look past the senior champions reigning and defending, going for 3 in a row. They'll be hard bet. In the other one, I do have to side with St. Colum-Kills. I just think on the back of their league form, I think now is the time for them. I really do. I think this is a game they have to win. And if they do win, they'll put themselves in a really strong position to get through, regardless of what happens against Rathalt. So I'll go with Rathalt and I'll go with St. Colum-Kills to beat Screen in that one.
Yeah, I have to side with you. Of course, if we look back at our predictions for the championship, I think you went for Summerhill and I went for Rathalt, so I'm going to have to stick with Rathalt right throughout this. And in fairness, they've got some quality players to come back into the fold as well. So that's Group C. Looking at Group B then, on Friday night, Centrestown will take on St. Peter's Dunboyne at 7:30 in Dunsany. And then on Saturday in Park Tolchin at 6:30, it's going to be Simonstown against Trim. So, Davey, we start with the second one. Tell me, why are Trim going to beat Simonstown?
I don't think they will.
You thought about it?
I don't know where I'm going on Saturday, but this game would have to be right up there. I think this will be box office. I really do. I think they're two really attractive looking sides. And there's a lot expected of both of them, actually. I think Trim probably have to win it more than Simonstown. And what I mean by that is there's fellas, I think, going away for Trim after round one or that. So this represents a great opportunity for them. But Simonstown have been motoring well, particularly towards the latter stages of the league. So I expect a really, really good game in that one. And in the other one, Centrestown against St. Peter's, they might obviously know Colin Finnegan. I think John Smith has picked up a concussion as well last week, so he might miss out. Dunboyne welcoming him back, the Meath contingent. It's probably hard to look past Joe Robinson's side.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you as well, but I do still think that game between St. Peter's, Dunboyne and Centrestown will be a close run affair. And I do think that Simonstown will get the victory over Trim. So we'll move on then to Group A of the Ferryhill Steel Senior Football Championship and the games in it. On Saturday in Rathalt, it's Dunmore Ashburn against Dunshaughlin at 6:30. And then on Sunday in Kilclune, it's Nafeen against Corraha. This is the South Meath group. It was just easier to put all these teams in together because they all know each other so well.
Yeah, they were all very friendly on the preview podcast that we had. So I'd say that'll be the end of the formalities. But that Dunshaughlin Dunmore Ashburn game is a glorious one, really. And there would be no love lost there. So Dunshaughlin, of course, back up intermediate champions. They're expected to go well. I do expect them to go well, too. And I think they might win this against their near neighbours. And in the other one, I'll just go Corraha. I think Corraha have quality now. Like, they've got the two Moriartys, they've got James McEntee, Jack O'Connor, they've got a wonderful set of players. If they can all come together and play, I think against the Nafina side minus Shane Walsh, it represents an excellent opportunity for Corraha.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. And like, there's no doubt about it, Corraha at full strength are a really good team. It's just having that depth to go into is probably their issue and whatever. But I still think that maybe the experience Nafina have might be enough to get them over the line. So I'll say Nafina just to go against you. I think that one's a coin toss, really. And then Dunmore Ashburn Dunshaughlin. I don't know. I think I still think that Dunshaughlin have a lot to prove. So they do. So I'm going to say Dunamore Ashburn in that one as well. So, anyways, best of luck to all the lads that are taking the field. And look, thanks again to everybody who joined us on the preview podcast. We had a whole host of players from all over the place. I know you had Ben Duggan, if I'm not mistaken, and Owen McDonald and Gavin Coyle. Did you from Corraha, Nafina and Dunshaughlin? Did you have Jamie Brown as well from Dunamore Ashburn?
No, he didn't show. He must have got nervous. I had Niall Finnerty as well. He jumped on from Group C. He was the only man that was brave enough from Group C to show his face.
Very good. And then from Group B, we had Stevie Moran from Simonstown. We had Daryl Lynch from Trim. We had David Gordon, Flash Gordon there from Centralstown. And we had Ronan Jones, fresh from picking up a Tolchin Cup medal. He was on for Dunboyne. And then from Wolf Tones, we had Oisín Martin. We had Seamus Manimo from Kells. And we had Barry Thompson from Ballinabrachy again. Summerhill lads were afraid, didn't want to give anything away in the podcast or whatever, but we know that they did try, but they got caught up and whatever. But some really good previews to look forward to there, dropping later in the week.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Jamie, I suppose all these players are going to probably be, they're going to be thinking about championship second, like winning a trophy second, because they will be looking for that Blackwater Inn top scorer of the week or Blackwater Inn player of the week as well. Like that's on the top of everybody's priorities these days.
Well, we know that the championships aren't won in July, but Blackwater Inn vouchers are won throughout the championship. So, excellent opportunity to get yourself up and running and build towards the championship in, what is it, October time?
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but the coveted spot on the Kiko Sports Team of the Week as well. We're going to be running that right throughout the championship. We had week one done last week with the Junior A and Junior B. This will be week two of the club championship. We will be announcing our Kiko Sports Team of the Week later next week after all of the games have been played. And of course, we'll be announcing the Blackwater Inn player and top scorers of the week as well. And thank you to Kiko Sports for joining us again this year and to the Blackwater Inn for their continued support and allowing us to bring these awards to the listeners. And not only that, but we will have the Kiko Sports Team of the Year later in the year. That was a brilliant, brilliant night last year, Davey. And, we'll be looking forward to seeing how far we can bring it again this year.
Yeah, very much so. It was a terrific night. Jam-packed house in the Blackwater Inn. So, yeah, it's given us the taste for it. We're hoping for even better this year. And who knows? I know it's early days, but I'm sure we could probably try and navigate the Tolchin Cup in towards Kells for a special appearance as well, maybe.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Okay, Davey, I think it's time to move on to our lotto segment and get that one out of the way.
Yeah, Waterstown are first in from Sunday night. Their numbers were 4, 10, 18 and 25. No winner of their 7,600 jackpot. And no match three winners, meaning the jackpot rolls on to 7,700. You can play via Club Force or pick up an envelope in Curran's Texaco Garage on the Dublin Road or in O'Brien's Baron Restaurant in Johnstown. Minolti are next in, and their results from Sunday the 23rd, 3,400 jackpot. The numbers were 4, 11, 12, and 27. No jackpot winner. Two match three winners, each receiving €100, were Nolene Tangley and Kitty McAvoy. The special online prize of €50 went to Owen Barber of Carmine, and next draw takes place on Sunday, where they've got €3,600. Minalvi are next in, and their results from Monday night, last Monday night, the 17th, 7, 16, 22, and 23. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Beth Ann Riley, Ann Toner, and the Malie family. The next draw takes place tonight. They've got €3,800, and it's available to be played at minalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Cortown GFC from last Friday night, €15,200 of a jackpot. The numbers were 2, 12, 24, and 29. No jackpot winner. The two All-Ireland hurling tickets went to Brian Fox from Navan. €520 winners were Porrick Burke, Fiona Linsky, Max and Ruby Foley, Bernie Murtha, and Colleen and Kyle. Next week, we've got €15,300 on Friday night at cortownga.com/lotto. Castletown from the 19th of July, 4,500 of a jackpot, not one. 7, 12, 23, and 26, the numbers. Lucky Dip winners collecting €30 each were Angela Young, Dennis Ward, Lily Mae Weldon, Jimmy Smith, and Joe McGrath. Kildare from the 18th of July, 4, 21, 24, and 27. No jackpot winner. Four shared the €150 match three winners, who were Diane and Nikki Potterton, the Rattigan family, and Annette Farrell and Gary Balfe. Next week's jackpot moves on to €9,800. Navan O'Matney's from last week, no jackpot winner of their one. 6, 9, 12, and 17, their numbers. Match three winners were Denise Morgan, Cuiva Nelson, and Colette Mooney. The next draw takes place on the 25th, which is tomorrow. They've got €11,450. Gilcolum Kill from last week, the 13th, 6, 18, 24, and 29. The numbers, €5,850, not one. The match three winners sharing €150 each were Ira Smith, Connor McGovern, and Damien Dardis. They've got €6,000 on offer next week. And that is it. That's all from me.
No worries. Kilmainham Wood from last Monday, the 17th of the 7th. The numbers drawn were 1, 18, 19, and 28. There was no jackpot winner. There was five Lucky Dip winners, each receiving €20. Shirley Finnegan, Rachel Carlin, Paddy Burns, Patrick O'Reilly, and Fergal McKenna. Next week's lotto is €6,400. So that would be taking place tonight, actually. Same with Central Stones. This is from last Monday. Their lotto was on at the minute, but this is from the 17th. This week's lotto numbers were 1, 7, 12, and 20. There was no jackpot winner. The five €25 winners were Sarah Jane Ruddy, Fiona Daly, Anne McCabe, Lisa Murray, and Tom Concannon. This week's lotto, or next week's lotto, as they say, is €4,500. That could have been won tonight. You never know. Finally, Simonson's lotto last Friday, the 21st of July, was €3,450. There was no winner. The Lucky Dip winners were Connor Carley, Paddy McKeown, and Colin Howard. And the numbers drawn were 4, 25, 29, and 31. And I must have offended Jelly, because I got absolutely nothing with it other than next Friday, July the 28th, the jackpot is 3,500, play online. And that was all I got. So I don't know.
How could you offend Jelly? He's the nicest man in the world.
I know. I don't know what. The last time I saw him was at the Cortown game. So unless I said something to him, I have no idea, Davey. But yeah, maybe you'll do a little bit of fishing in that one for me, will you?
He takes any criticism of Cortown very seriously, Mickey. He's an adopted Cortown man now, so, you know, I understand it.
If I'm fighting with Jelly, I'm fighting with all he's been saying things.
Exactly. Instagram time, yeah?
It's time for Instagram Interactive, Davey.
Okay, Jack Walsh, I love the way he's always really quickly in with these. And a fair one, first off. He said, Davey Rispin won 7, won 6 from play, and not in the team of the week. Biggest scandal since RTE.
Well, see, he wasn't there. The 1-6 was well taken. The one mark as well, which I said to you last week on the podcast, was an advanced mark. You have to do all the work for that. It's like a point from play. It's not like a free, I don't think. You've got less time to take the shot as well because it's an advanced mark. But it's what you miss, Davey. You missed more than you scored, so that's your shooting average was probably at about 35%, Davey.
I was a bit better than that now, come on. I was getting the chances.
I think you'll have to watch back the video.
I did. The second half.
Yeah. In fairness, you were much better in the second half.
Alan McCormick said Davey Rispin's love of hurling. I met Alan up in Phil Ryan's actually in Croke Park yesterday. He's a great hurling man. I actually met him in at the Kildare game as well on Friday night. So, in fairness, it's not a lie. I do love hurling.
Dad, you know, look, I've converted to you. Like it's this brainwashing that I've done for the last few years. You know, Davey Rispin, our small ball expert, and you've taken it upon yourself to become that small
reverse
ball
reverse psychology. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jack Walsh also said Shamrock Rovers losing to Icelandic part-timers in the Champions League qualifiers.
Yeah, but are Shamrock Rovers not part-timers themselves?
No, they're professional.
Are they?
Mm.
What kind of money would they be getting?
I'd say they're like the better paid lads will be easily on the grand a week. Yeah.
Oh, look, yeah.
Fair point. Stevie Gibbons said Danny Dixon buying tickets to Barbie with his one for all voucher.
I tell you one thing, don't knock it till you watch it. I'm reserving judgment on that movie until I go and watch it with my daughters.
Okay. With your daughters, he's probably going
to just threw that bit in.
I love the way Stevie said it. You wouldn't say it to Danny Dixon's face, I'll tell you that. He's a big unit. Robert Perfield said, move the championship to January. It's drier then. Mickey, I've been saying this since the start. January is perfect time to be playing all sorts of footballs. Regional, everything.
Oh, lordy. Yeah.
Lucky to be working a serious amount of Mead lads at the hurling final and wouldn't support the footballers last weekend.
Well, you've got a hurling contingent in Meath and you've got a football contingent, and you know, how many of the football supporters would go to watch the hurlers play?
Yeah, true. Yeah, can't argue with it. Colin Max said Flares at the Tailteann Cup final. I think there were a couple, about that.
There was a couple of tweets up about it, all right.
It's every week though. I was in the queues at Glower yesterday, close enough to the hill. And there was mad amount of flares. There was one thrown onto the pitch actually at one stage as well. So it seems to be creeping into the game.
I think who was it that put that up, by the way?
Colin McDonald.
Do we know him? Just while you're looking that up anyway, I think that the flares at the Tailteann Cup final, there was an issue where somebody threw one and it hit a Dublin supporter's child on the head. Now, this is hearsay. I don't know if that happened. It was somebody put it up on Twitter. There's no video evidence. There's nobody has come back and said it did happen or it didn't happen or whatever. But we're seeing an awful lot of incidents on the hill in recent times, and I think it's only a matter of time before we lose it.
Yeah, I agree, actually. Shawnee Geraghty. This is an interesting one. County Board fixing a hurling championship game for Sunday evening of an All-Ireland Sunday. So this has been done. Obviously, that was done for the hurling yesterday, and it is being done, as we know, for the football next weekend as well, with a few of the games that we've spotted. I don't like it personally. I regardless if lads are going out to watch it or not, I just don't think it's right to be playing a championship game after watching the hurling final or whatever.
It's like Christmas Day. So it is.
Yeah, you know, there shouldn't be any games. Even games that morning. Like, there's games at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock 12. And quarter past 11, yeah.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, and that used to be the way. And that was a rule, if I'm not mistaken, up until recently. So, it just kind of takes away from All-Ireland final day for both hurling and football.
Yeah. Francis Murray said Connor Ford back from Thailand. Yeah, he wasn't around for Slane for the last couple of games, so he'll be a big addition if he is back.
Oh, he is back, is he?
Seemingly so. Cormac Brown said cancel the championship for the weekend of the Fla.
The weekend of the Fla down in Westmeath, down in Mullingar, sure. Now, if it was, I'll tell you what, if it was being held in Navan or Dunshaughlin or Trim or whatever, Kells, I'd say, yeah, absolutely do. But stay in feckin' Mullingar, like, Jesus Christ, Mullingar.
Matthew Carlin said B Cup thrown in the week of championship should be next Tuesday, if at all.
Why, what's happening there?
Well, this is like the reserve cup the teams could affiliate to, and I think he's saying, you know, it's on the same day. There is another one just on that, Mickey, which I'll call out alongside it, just that I have it right. Peter Duffy actually said Premier and first team games the same day, desperate schedule.
But
so I assume Simon's down Premier.
But it's always been the way that if you play senior championship, you won't be able to play the reserve championship. So what's the? I don't see what the issue is.
Well, it's the same. I think he's getting that it's the same day. So maybe it could be a thing that lads have to tug out for the seniors mightn't get playing, and I don't know if the Premier's. I don't know. To be honest.
Yeah, no, but I've seen like even in back in 16 and 17, I would see we would be playing senior championship on a Saturday afternoon, and we'd be playing reserve championship that evening, and the management looking at the bench going, well, do we need to use him or do we not? Would we be better off getting time in him later on this evening? I don't know. That's always been an issue, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. PS Tape said, we are Mead fun bus to the Camogie finals. There's an idea, Mickey.
Absolutely. That'd be a great day.
Remember the last one we did?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we did that for the ladies All-Ireland, the first one that they won. Not the intermediate, the first senior one that they won. Yeah, you never know. Watch the space.
I bloody love fantasy football. Saying, have you listened to the world's most popular Irish fantasy Premier League podcast? This is another venture of PS Tapes. Like, he has more podcasts and side gigs than hot dinners these days, PS Tapes. Where does he find the time?
He's got to, like, he's going to start a podcast on hot dinners at this stage, so he is.
He actually should, because his dinners look unbelievably well.
Well, he's already documenting them, so he is, on Instagram, so yeah, why not do a podcast on it? But, yeah, look, Paddy is after starting another podcast. He's an avid fantasy football, fantasy Premier League, whatever it is, follower and, what would you say, player. I haven't done it in about 10 years, so I've done my team for this year. So do you normally do it,
David? You've done already, have you?
Yeah.
Okay. I looked at his team, and now I have good years and bad years. I play it every year, but I hate the fact he has his two keepers, his goalkeeper and his sub-goalkeeper, both playing away on the opening weekend, which means they're both going to be at home the following weekend and both away. I think you need a balance there, because if they both get stinkers of an away game, you know, you're fecked. You're not getting a clean sheet anywhere. That's just one comment I had from the team, but I must tune in.
Don't be giving him any tips, but I can do.
No, I'm hoping he'll give me a few tips, but I will tune in. Just for anybody out there, you can go and follow them. They are on Instagram as well. It's I Bloody Love Fantasy Football is the handle, and you can go and give them a follow.
And Davey, he's not messing. Well, it is the top Irish Fantasy Premier League podcast in the country.
So there's a niche.
It's the only one.
Interesting. That's it, Mickey. That's it from Insta this week.
Well, look, I think that's an extended We Are Mead podcast this week, so we might just leave it at that. And just pump all our followers over to the Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon/ We Are Mead, and you'll get that intermediate and senior championship preview podcast. There's two separate ones there. They're quite long, both of them. I think they're both around the hour mark, if not a little bit more. So do check those ones out. We want to wish Brendan Skehan and the girls the very best of luck. That game is going to be on the 6th of August. It is a bank holiday weekend, as David said. And hopefully we'll get Kieran Devaney on to do a preview pod of that All-Ireland final for the girls. So best luck to them in that one. But we will be coming back to that game closer to the time. Look, that's it from this episode. Remember, We Are Mead. Why? It matters more.